Okay, cool. What are you doing this time?
Yeah, so that there's a story around that. Well, I was weekending with our new good friend, Michael Crick. Yeah, weekending up on the Michael Crick the Crick compound, right?
Sure.
The Crimpound, as he calls it. And we were out there, and I was remarking on how good the sorghum was coming in this year, mm-hmm. as his, just playful kids played hoop and stick along the road. And I asked him, I said, hey, you were in the game for a little bit, but that kind of dried up. What really got you, where you're at today? Like, you don't have a farm just because of old Amiga games, right? Mm-hmm. He said, well, it's funny, actually. I actually developed a game back in 1986, for the Commodore 64, right? Called Go for the Gold.
Okay.
I was like, okay, cool. It was pretty great. It was a number one selling game in England. Huge deal, right? Commodore 64. And he tells me, but the thing is, when the United States Olympic Committee wanted to use that phrase in their promotion of the 1994 Atlanta Games, the ones that with Izzy what's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They paid him handsomely for the rights to the phrase, and that allowed him to put in the back, the back half acre with all of the dank herb.
Yeah,
and there
sorghum.
He is today. Yeah, with the dank sorghum herb. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So I said, Cole, my new friend, my new confidant. You may not believe it, but that is actually the case. That is where a good deal of the Crick family fortune came from.
Oh,
yeah.
So what are we doing this week, Cole?
Well, no, so I asked him, what should we do? We had this podcast, and he said, yeah, you guys should probably play toys for the Sega Genesis.
Fuck, did you get out of there?
As quickly as possible.
I took back every nice thing I said about that.
Yeah.
A Crick prick. Crick dot prick.
Sorry,
he's actually a nice guy.
I feel like we're voyeurs into his family life, family life as of 10 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. One thing we're not voyeurs into is toys.
No, God.
Toyers. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering. Why are you doing this to us? You assholes.
God. Oh, I forgot to say, why are you doing this to us last time?
It's okay.
Shit.
Cut it in post.
Okay, cool. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. What are you doing this to us?
Yeah, and this week we are playing toys for the Sega Genesis, although it just as likely could have been for the SNES. I figured the Genesis one would be shittier, so I specified that one. This was suggested / recommended / imposed by Samuel Bear.
Yeah, two-time Hall of Fame, Hall of Shame winner, Samuel Bear.
Yeah.
This is bad.
This is one of the goddamn worst games I played on this show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really saying something. I mean, that's the whole point of the show.
Yeah.
And this is real, real shitty. Mm-hmm. So much so that I cannot find footage of the second level of this game on YouTube. Like, I'm like super honest. Like, you had to kill 8 of these elephant cameras in the first level. And I was like, oh, I got to find a speed run of this or something. Because, that's the thing I do. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, for none of the three show games we're playing in this session, I was able to find any footage of like a complete gameplay.
Was it mostly people just taking the piss or what?
All right, well, yeah, and just not being able to get past the first level of them. Like, I mean, people got a little bit further in Dudes with Attitudes.
Yeah.
And I've seen some people get the later levels on our next game. Mm-hmm. But for this one, like, nobody, I've never seen anything outside that first bland, endless field of like, crisscrossing carpet.
Yep.
That is this entire game.
That looks like the NES Double Dare game.
Yeah.
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 Except it's isometrics and nothing is as it seems.
Yeah, I hate isometric.
God.
Like, it's just the worst. Like, you just can't do it in a game, like an action game. Like, it works for, like a Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
Because it's turn-based. But
yeah, or a Shadowrun.
Yeah. Yeah. And even then, like, it's still kind of hard to, like, get to line yourself up with doors properly and shit.
Yeah.
But in any kind of like real action game, it just does not work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though like a Landstalker and those games, like, I always wanted to like those, but like,
yeah.
it is impossible to jump on things.
Operation Desert Storm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more of a piloting simulator, though. Not simulator, arcade game kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a simulator. That's
the shit got rowdy over there.
It's funny that you bring that up, because that's really kind of a plot point of the movie. Have you ever seen Toys?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna say great. But,
yeah, you're just gonna say great.
Yeah, in the way that a Robin Williams movie of this vintage could be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, so Toys, it's a family drama that eventually turns into Ender's Game. Would that be appropriate?
Yeah.
Turns into Ender's Game. I was about to say The Last Starfighter, but that veers off into a different place. Yeah,
it kind of turns into like an Ender's Game, and then turns into like, I don't know, like it is a weird fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I saw this when I was very young. My family was quite pro Robin Williams. So mm-hmm. looking at the complete filmography of Robin Williams up until let's say like 2002 with 1 hour photo, I've seen pretty much most of these.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, Bicentennial Man, What Dreams May Come, Patch Adams. That took me to see The Birdcage because they didn't know what that was.
Yeah, well, that's actually not a bad movie though.
I know.
Like out of all these movies, like it's kind of okay.
Yeah, but you know they were offended that it was about gay people.
Yeah. And yeah, Patch Adams,
Jack,
shit's rich.
I mean, Mrs. Doubtfire. Every time I bring up Mrs. Doubtfire, I have to mention the have you seen the recut trailer that's Doubtfire?
Yeah.
Which is that movie as if it were a suspense film.
Those things are fun.
Yeah,
I'm looking at this list of Robin Williams movie. I'm trying to think of which one of these is the best one.
Mm-hmm.
On them, and it's pretty difficult. Like, he's somebody who I remember liking, and then also now, based on this, I don't have much reason to.
Right,
like,
I
just don't really understand why I was into it. Like, I like the Adventures of Baron Munchausen a lot.
Yep.
It's not a Robin Williams movie. I like The Fisher King a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Yeah.
There's the movie that I like, that's Robin Williams.
I have nostalgia for Aladdin and for Fern Gully.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, the Disney cartoon movies.
That hit me, like, right at the right time. But, like, eventually it just becomes a, ooh, Father's Day, which is him and Billy Crystal. Him, we saw this in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It's him and Billy Crystal, and the band Sugar Ray features heavily into the plot.
Ugh. No thanks. Man, Old Dogs?
Yep, yeah.
There's a podcast called How Did This Get Made, which is a bad movie podcast. And they did an episode on Old Dogs where mm-hmm. They have just the audio from it, and there's a scene where Old Dog Robin Williams, or it's either Old Dog Robin Williams or Old Dog John Travolta. Either way, though, they didn't know that they had kids.
Are you saying Wild Hogs or
no, Old Dogs?
Okay,
yeah, they, those are the two people in Old Dogs. Wild Hogs is like William H. Macy and
Martin Lawrence. Yeah,
yeah, that's different.
Tim Allen.
Somebody finds out they have kids, and he is in a toilet stall explaining to his kid about the birds and the bees while there is loud shitting noises 80 yard in. Like, no joke. It has to be heard to be believed. Like, it is like...
I mean, are we talking like more graphic than Blazing Saddles? Is it like that?
It's pretty intense. And it's in the middle of this heartfelt, like... It's like they had this moment of humanity and then, like, somebody had to fart it up.
Yeah.
Like, it just was, like... It's just literally, I'm just like, well, you know, I wasn't always a good father for you, but yet... You have to realize that, you know, sometimes when a man... it is ridiculous.
I mean, is it a comedy movie and they were just straight up undercutting the
undercutting the drama with shit, with the noise of turds coming out of a butthole.
Yes.
So
wet turds.
Yes, wet.
Yeah, with turds. With screamers. Just
W turds and screamers. They had to undercut it with.
Yeah. Looking at this, I would say Good Will Hunting is a legitimately good film.
It doesn't stand up that well.
No,
I thought so too when I saw it, but I've seen it recently and
is it like American Beauty where like it makes a really good first impression? I haven't seen it in a decade
for 16 year olds. Like it's exactly that. Like it's wow, this is deep because I'm 16 mm-hmm. and then
So okay, that makes perfect sense. And I have a similar relationship with Dead Poets Society.
Yeah, me too. Like I don't, that's not a good movie, but like at the time I thought it was okay.
Yeah. My dad loved war movies. Still mm-hmm. loves war movies and specifically war comedies. We always had Good Morning Vietnam or Stripes going.
Oh yeah.
At any given moment.
Which one of those is the better movie?
Stripes.
Even though Stripes, like I defy you to remember what happened in the last third of that movie.
Well, like, yeah. I mean, Stripes is like a slightly better Spies Like Us.
Yeah, exactly. And nobody remembers what happens in Spies Like Us. It's kind of like Full Metal Jacket, where it's like both those movies, like, oh, it's really good when they're in boot camp. Uh-huh. And then as soon as they leave boot camp, it's like, I don't care.
Well, I mean, and in fairness to Full Metal Jacket, which is a movie I genuinely enjoy, there is two different movies.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, so it Stripes kind of like it is a fun boot camp comedy, mm-hmm. and then a boring, you know, war comedy.
Yeah.
After that tries to be dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Toys though, featuring LL Cool J.
Yep, and also this is the acting debut of Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yep. LL Cool J. You know, you just remember things for no reason.
Yeah.
This was on like during a summer on HBO or something, and I watched a bunch when I was younger. And there's a part where LL Cool J is talking to Joan Cusack, human robot. Yeah, in the movie, talking to Joan Cusack in a cafeteria, and he's looking down at his plate, and he's got like peas and carrots are touching, and he looks down and he goes, "I'm a military man. I like a military plate, a separate section for my peas, a separate section for my meat," or something like that. And it just sticks in my head
like,
is this
like slant rhyme?
Yeah, just this. What the fuck are you? What a weird line that somebody wrote onto a screenplay and then LL Cool J said for money.
Like, there was a contract that made him do that.
I am a military man. I like a military plate.
Yeah.
Like, what? Are you, huh.
Which, I mean, that's bizarre. I mean, whatever, LL Cool J. But, like, the fact that there was LL Cool J and Jamie Foxx in that, like, didn't they feel a little bit like transplants from Major Pain?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it is that kind of thing. Like, they don't make a lot of sense in the movie. And not in, like, a, you know, a racist way. Like, it's not, you know, the movie underlines it constantly. Like, yeah. I think that LL Cool J is an adopted son.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just constantly talking about it because he is black and his dad is Michael Gambon in it. But it doesn't need to be there. Like, it is such a weird little additional wrinkle.
Mm-hmm.
As no point. Do you remember in that movie the part where they rewire the security camera to play that Talking Heads knockoff song?
Yep.
To entertain, like, so security guards are watching the security tapes, and they put and it turns into MTV, their security feed, and they don't question it at all and just watch
watch this.
Yeah, and it's like knockoff, like, some things are things that never happen.
Like, is that the mirror song or is that the end credits?
No, okay. That's the mirror song. Okay. Maybe they play it in the end credits. Yeah. It's just really fucking weird.
They tried to get that in for the Oscars or for the Grammys.
Yeah.
Best original song from a film, themed to toys, from toys.
The mirror song. Some people think.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Toys. Like, but what happens in the game?
Oh boy, Gary.
Yeah.
This is like what would happen if you took Zombies Ate My Neighbors and just made it as bad as possible. Like, you took everything that was good about that game and then just scaled it way, way back. So,
yeah.
So you're running around, you're wicked zoomed in on the sprite of maybe like a Robin Williams, but he's dressed like a foppish dandy, as he is in the film.
Yes.
Like a toy factory man child. As you kind of run around this isometric environment, trying to shoot these toys that are coming after you with your own toys. It's toy on toy violence.
Toy on toy action.
Yeah, no, it's tearing the community apart.
Fuckfeed.tv, you get toy on toy action.
Have you seen that that anti-gun or the lock up your guns video?
I have not.
It's pretty great. I don't know what the title of it is, but I'll just give you this. These kids are running around in the yard playing, and two moms are talking, and they realize to their horror that the things they're sword fighting with are gigantic dildos. It's you know, like the one mom, like the host mom's sex toys, and it ends saying, like, if it's in your house, they'll find it, and if they find it, they'll play with it. Lock up your guns.
Oh,
really effective.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah, so that is toy on toy action, just sword fighting.
There's a billboard for anti guns in Portland that shows a little boy holding a gun, like pointing it, and you'd think that, like, if you're gonna show, like, the point's the same, like, kids are gonna get your guns, which of course they are, don't own a gun, and but instead of showing the kid like considering shooting somebody or something like that, the kid looks like he's having the best time in the world, like he won a Make-A-Wish cancer. And his prize was to be in this gun ad where he got to hold a real life gun. Like, I've never seen a happier kid.
Yeah.
It's really weird advertising or, you know, propaganda or PSA.
Yeah, this actually kind of glorifies tooth decay.
Yeah, exactly. Look how happy this kid is eating that candy.
Yeah.
But anyway, you were talking about.
Yes, we were. So you're fighting these toys, which are like RC cars and helicopters and stuff. And that's from the movie, right? You know, like, yeah. Oh, and I kind of like that message because this crazy brother comes in and starts making war toys after the founder of the company dies. So it's like, oh, yes. You know, like it was always like whimsy and, you know, great Willy Wonka-esque toys.
That no kid would ever want to play with.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, here's a fucking wooden elephant. You know, Christmas is ruined. Cry, cry, cry. You know, but anyway.
Burn this for warmth, because obviously your parents don't love you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're attacking them, or at least attempting to, because none of your weapons actually land where you think they're going to land.
Yeah, because I mean, not just because of isometrics and mm-hmm. that's how isometrics work, but also like none of them have a predictable trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
Like your basic weapon, which is this peanut shooting elephant gun thing, and not like an elephant gun like an elephant gun, but a gun that is shaped like an elephant's face.
Yeah.
Where like they just kind of bounce, and then you get these remote control cars that go around randomly. You get this what is the other thing?
The bowling balls.
Yeah. The bowling balls actually kind of work.
Yeah, because
but
like
the, you know, tops that go around randomly.
You're dealing with elevation, so like the bowling balls in the RC cars attack everything on the ground, and you have stuff that goes up in the air somewhat, kind of.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And the frustrating thing is you have to beat everything.
Yeah.
Like there's little bombs coming around, and they move really unpredictably. Like everything is set to random, and you had to get to these cameras. And the cameras are protected by little jeeps and then tanks. And before you can hit the cameras, you have to kill both those layers of defense.
Yeah.
Which is absurd and should never have been like a gameplay. That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And that's why no one's ever seen the second level of this game, because it's so hard.
I can only assume there is, because your friend Patrick sets you up. Like there's this whole like intro kind of thing where you're looking at console commands on a computer, and he says, "Oh, I just went in and dropped some gift boxes on the ground. I just want to make this a video game level for you."
Yeah,
it goes on. So like this is a mission. It is like stage one, taking out the cameras so you can do something more. But do you want to hear my wild guess on what level two is?
yes I do.
Well, I think you're gonna like be asked to destroy a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. on another colored floor.
Yeah
it's a pretty good
yeah, you know, it's conservative, but I've learned not to expect much.
However, according to Wikipedia, it doesn't say how you get to this point. Crashing a toy plane into General Zevo's windows allows players to beat the game. However, they have to navigate the plane through a scale model of Manhattan and avoid running out of power.
Huh?
Yeah. I don't know, but that's according to Wikipedia.
Is it like the Nikita missiles from Metal Gear?
Probably. But yeah, with like it way more frustrating. It's probably like the Nikita missiles crossed with the flying from San Andreas. Like, if I had to guess.
Yeah, with limited tries.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, this is one of the worst we've done.
Yeah.
This is real bad.
And it's, I mean, haha, lol, licensed games are bad, but like really, this is really crass, right?
Yeah. Like usually licensed games are bad are just uninspired.
Yeah.
Like you can just make a shitty platformer, you know, where you jump on things that's not very well designed, but like this is just very like...
It's aggressively unplayable.
Yeah. And it's also like a symbol of how that whole movie went, where it's like it was designed from the bottom up to be a multimedia sensation. And no one involved had any idea that this would flop as hard as it did. Like the movie, you know, made half its money back, like, you know, over the course of its lifetime. Like it's a huge, huge flop. It's like the movie Barry Levinson wanted to make since like the 80s.
Yeah.
Like he's always wanted to make this movie. And it just kind of like, I just imagine them like, okay, we're going to do a game. You know, we're going to do these, like, you remember the trailers for it?
Uh-huh.
Like the trailers were a cultural touchstone. They make fun of them in The Simpsons,
they
where
do.
Like Bern needs an air and he does the little you know, let's all go to the lobby. You know, it's great. But like they were so ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm.
Like this movie was everywhere, and then just everything about it turned out to be garbage.
Yeah. And that's like the sad thing, because this is somebody, like, you're making it sound like Barry Levinson's life work. Like, this is the thing that he wanted, but he had to compromise so much into making it that, like, empire that it just didn't turn out being a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, who knows what actually happened? This could just be his, you know, his fuck up. Like, this is exactly how he wanted it.
It's his north.
Yeah, totally. Like,
okay, Rob Reiner, you make good movies. However, this movie is not good.
Yeah, you also made North.
Yeah, you also made North.
Yeah.
God. Well, like, that's the 90s. Are they coming back? Like, because I remember the 80s kind of had, like, a resurgence or whatever. Vice City, everybody's listening to Depeche Mode. I have no idea. Like, is this ever going to be a thing again?
Toys?
No, things like toys. I don't know. Just like the closer I get to it, there's almost no nostalgia. Okay. Well, I just about said something asinine, which is there's almost no nostalgia for the 90s. But refuting that, you just have all of BuzzFeed. So that just means that I sufficiently don't pay attention to the culture enough that it doesn't pop up enough to be obnoxious. So
yeah, you don't have any nostalgia for the 90s.
Yeah,
you know, probably, but it's still a thing.
Yeah. So.
You know who wrote the Mirror Song?
Who?
Thomas Dolby.
Of the Dolby fame?
Of She Blinded Me with Science.
Really?
And Hyperactive and, you know, the Golden Age of Wireless, which is actually a really good album.
Huh.
It kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, by that sound.
Ooh, and Happy Workers Reprise, the ending theme, features Wendy, Lisa, and Seal.
The guy with the skin problems?
Yeah, the skin Seal with the childhood disease. Yes.
Wait a minute. There's a song called Let Joy and Innocence Prevail, which is written by Hans Zimmer and performed by Grace Jones. What the fuck,
yeah,
Gary?
Yeah. Listen to the Seal discography. Seal, Seal 2, Human Being, Seal 4. System, Soul, Commitment, Soul 2.
Is he Led Zeppelin?
Yeah, what are you doing?
This is all over the place, Gary. Like Enya and Tori Amos?
Yeah. And Pat Metheny?
Wow.
Super, super strange.
Huh.
What a weird fucking movie. I think the movie is more watchable than the game is playable.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the movie is at least audacious in its fuckery.
Yeah, and like there's game, so there's some surreality to it, like it shamelessly just takes Magritte and uses it all over the place, which I can get down with.
It's like the kind of movie that would show well in still images.
Yeah,
you know, like, oh, this, like, is an image from the movie. Oh, it looks neat.
But yeah,
you know?
Just like really good production design, it feels like. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, while being bonkers ass crazy.
Yeah. So I think the lesson is, people say, oh, like, what happened to Robin Williams? Did he stop being funny? No, he just kind of never was. And he always did this. Like, he had, like, this and Hook in the same year.
When you watch, if you've ever seen the, I'm sure I've referenced it before, and it's ended up in a show note for Watch Out Fireballs, the Tim and Eric sketch about Robin Williams, where, like, Eric, you know, feels like his comedy has not been very good, so he gets Tim a Robin Williams. And they just use a Robin Williams impersonator, but he's just running around just like, you know, just being a hyperactive idiot, which Robin Williams does. And Tim Heidecker reacts in the only way you can when you have Robin Williams around, which is like he's a dog. Like, just like, get down, Robin! Or, get down! You know, get over here. And then the Robin Williams person is like, you know, like, acts like he's all cowed. And it's very funny. But that's essentially what he is. It's just like a coked up idiot who somehow became America's funny man.
Yeah. Also, incredibly racist.
Yeah. I don't care how much he likes The Legend of Zelda. Like, I'm just not interested in this man.
Yeah.
Even though, like, 1 hour photo is kind of like, that's not a bad movie.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's his punch drunk love, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like, oh, he's going to surprise you and catch you off guard, and then he's going to go on and make 15 Night at the Museum movies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So,
at least Adam Sandler did funny people.
Yeah. Adam Sandler did two good movies.
Yeah.
Robin Williams has two good movies.
Yeah.
Because I like The Fisher. I genuinely like The Fisher King quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I guess he's in Shakes the Clown, too. That's pretty cool.
I forgot about Shakes the Clown.
Yeah, Shakes the Clown is great.
Yeah, I like the story of the movie, like the making of it, better than the movie itself. But
yeah,
huh.
No, Bobcat Goldthwait is a rare and special weirdo. So. But yeah, fuck you, Robin Williams. And Samuel Baird, fuck you. Go fuck yourself.
This was an act of cruelty.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. At least dudes with attitude had that homepage.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure like Robin Williams' homepage has some treasures if we wanted to plumb them, but
yeah.
I choose not.
I choose not to. do you know whose homepage, at least the last time I checked, had a very active like fan community forum?
Tim Curry?
No, Jeff Bridges.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah. I just don't know. I don't understand why he thinks he needs a forum.
But... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either.
Oh, well.
No one needs a forum. what are we doing next time, Cole?
Next time, we are going to be doing another early 90s, top 25 early 90s things you have nostalgia for, which is Darkwing Duck for the TurboGrafx-16. And, oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, also.
also a game, which I had a lot of trouble running.
Yeah. Yeah. My TurboGrafx-16 emulator that I've settled on will let me play a game for 5 minutes at a stretch pretty consistently.
Oh, is that the Dream Machine
one? I can't remember what it's called. Yeah. I can take a look. But anywho.
Yeah, there's one that's actually like payware.
Yeah, I think that one is. And you know, fuck it if I'm gonna do that. It's the PCE
is the name of it. Yeah.
I get about 5 minutes. That's all I need. I couldn't get further than 5 minutes anyway. Nope. And Toilet Kids or that. And how can people help the show?
Well, they can check out facebook.com/abjectsuffering to participate in the discussion. Hear us complain about these things cryptically well in advance of when the episodes come out.
Yep. So you know what we're playing a month down the road. Mm-hmm. Not know, but be able to guess if you're...
Yeah. Great. Although I like the guesses. Somebody guessed Donkey Kong 64, which might be worth a trip.
Yeah, I hate that game.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Even though that'd probably end up being like the Shadowrun game where it's like everything works.
Yeah, so
it's just a crime of lack of imagination.
Yeah, it's just us being shitty.
Yeah. And then if you want to help us out financially, you can go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar or patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yep.
That's a big help.
At the tip jar, we have links for both the United Kingdom. I always have to be very careful because I want to say England and then I want to say Great Britain, but I know those are all different things. The United Kingdom and also Canada. So if you are in those regions, that is a way for you to buy things off of Amazon. And then that gets us a little cut. You do not pay anything extra. It's just a little finder's fee. It's a little bit of action on the side that we get. Sweetens the pot. It's the VIG. Indeed.
It is the big. It's the kitty. So put it in the kitty.
Yeah.
Until next time, what can they watch out for?
They can watch out for this post about somebody's cat on the Jeff Bridges fan forums.
Let's save that for the next episode in case we run out of things to say about Darkwing Duck.
Okay, cool. Umbasa.
Umbasa.